In our last class, we left off, think of what page was yours?
Page two.
Okay. Okay, we're on page two. And we were kind of discussing, and we'll maybe bring up just a little of where we were at, but we were towards the end where it said, do you remember how we used to view things and what changed? And we were talking about knowledge and different things. And one thing I want us to think about is, has our knowledge made us too comfortable? Have we forgotten the state that we were in and the wonderful blessing of understanding what God has provided for us spiritually? And, you know, things that we kind of talked about last time, how did we get there? Things we need to remind ourselves. Who taught us? Aren't you glad that someone taught us? You know, if we reflect back on that, then maybe it will kind of spark us to be glad. Well, we should be glad, but it should remind us as well. And, you know, that somebody else took the time to teach us. So how about us? Are we willing to do that? You know, we get comfortable. We get to a point that we take things for granted. And although we have knowledge, sometimes we act as if we don't. And maybe you're thinking, whoa, wait a minute. You know, I live like I should. And, you know, most of us, I mean, I would agree for the most part, of course, we're not perfect. But for the most part, we might be striving to live like we should in the things that we do. And I hope you caught on to my comment there. So what about the things that we don't do? That is what I'm talking about. And again, like I mentioned in our first class, I'm definitely talking to myself, because these are things that I need to grow in. You know, these are things that we have to accept before we're able to correct them. If we deny it, then we don't recognize that there's something that we need to fix. Think for a moment. I'll get my words out today. This is just to help us understand some things. Let's say that you are at a point in your life financially where you're doing a lot better than you were maybe when you were younger. You know, as we get older, we go through that stage, maybe as when you just got out on your own. You know, finances might be tighter and stuff. And let's say you're to a point where you're doing a little better in that sense. You know, and just think about it in that way. You know, this is, and let's say that you have done this for a little while. You've been, you know, comfortable for a little while. And even though we were poor, I'm using the term loosely, because compared to others, we probably don't know what that means. But even though we were poor at one time, we forgot maybe how that was. And my only point about this is, it's not about poor or not being poor, but how we can take things for granted. And this can be that way spiritually. We're people that are spiritually prosperous, but not because of anything we've done, but because of the grace of God. And, you know, maybe sometimes we've forgotten that the state that we were in, and this grace is for all, but not all are well, or not all are aware. So the question is, are we willing to help? Now, when we get into our study, we're going to look at the idea of evangelism. And I think we understand our need to evangelize. And we'll get into different aspects of what that means. But we're to influence others and sharing the gospel with people. Now, after we define the word evangelism and look more later on in our study, like I said, our definition of the word might change a little bit for us. We're going to see that it's not just this idea of teaching people that don't know, and we'll look at different verses and we'll be able to pull out of there that there's that aspect, but that it doesn't stop there, and there's kind of more to it. And like it was brought up in the last class, the idea of ism or dedication. Did you have a, oh, okay. I thought you were raising your hand. Okay. So the idea of dedication. Now, as far as this sharing this gospel with other people, now in the aspect of maybe those that don't know, how are we to do this? Okay. And those aren't wrong. I was, you know, sometimes a teacher's not clear on what they're asking, you know. And I'm guilty of that. Mainly what I was looking at, there's example, and then like direct teaching, as far as maybe teaching directly. And
how we live our lives says a lot.
Yes.
How we react to situations says a lot.
Okay. Okay.
I would say that the direct teaching part of that has more importance, because
it's key.
We can live the life of a Christian, and people can observe that, but is that going to teach them that they need to repent and be baptized?
I agree.
So you got to get involved with them and sit down with them and point them to the scriptures and let them come to that conclusion.
I totally agree, but as far as to get to that point, sometimes we have to do like what Alex is. You're hopefully, you know, the way that you live is going to cause them to, you know, ask.
What's your secret?
And then, you know, be ready to give an account.
Questions. Questions. Hands happen to motivate the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
Question about something. Why do you all do this? Why did you accept what?
So pointing them to scripture is always a good thing. That's right. If you would turn with me to 1 Peter.
I think also a lot of times we pray for God to open a door for us to have a discussion with someone.
And we walk right by it when it's wide open, or
yeah. And then when that door is open,
yeah.
Go in, or...
Oh, yeah. I agree.
Slink back.
I agree.
Well, you judge people. You say, oh, you know, that guy's too much of a jerk to even open up on the gospel. They go, hey, wait a minute. How was that guy a few years ago?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, we do. We are guilty of pre-qualifying or whatever, however you want to call that. But we've got to be careful of that, because there's probably many of us that wouldn't necessarily be the perfect candidate in the way that we were living. Now in 1 Peter 3:1, it's kind of this idea. It says, in the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. So first off, we see that there is something that changes. It uses the word one. So what is that? What do we think of when it says that they can be one?
Persuaded.
Okay, persuaded. Taught, yes, but I'm not positive that that's necessarily what's being said. Okay, influenced.
Converted.
Okay. To win over or convinced. That's what I kind of think of when it's talking about right here. Now, how was this to take place? Was it by her Was she going and teaching him directly?
By example.
By example, okay. Said without a word. So basically it was just talking about her behavior. And so as the husband observed this, it taught him something. And then it was, then it's like, you know, okay, wait a minute. And that's what I take out of this idea of as being won over.
To me, if I may, the disobedient to the word won would be the opposite of that obedient to the word.
Right.
And so at some point in time, they will have to learn
yes.
the gospel.
Yes.
But to be go from disobedient to obedient, you know, because of her behavior.
Because of her behavior. Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am. So the way that we live and the things that we say to others, or which in this case not necessarily say, could say something about us. And these can things can lead to others knowing and understanding the truth. That's what I want us to kind of understand when we talk about this. It just seems like, I don't know if levels is the right word, but it seems like there's different, maybe, levels. I don't want us to think that when we're trying to speak to somebody, because we know this in the, in, take for example, the way we live. We know in the way we live that it can win somebody over, it can make them question why we do the things that we do, but like Sam said, it doesn't necessarily teach them everything. Well, it doesn't teach them everything, because you still have to teach them what it is to be saved.
I think a good analogy is the sower, you got the seed, and then the plant starts to take root, and it grows, and then it starts to bear fruit.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just talking about planting the seed, but we also can teach and encourage and help that person grow to the point of maturity where they're bearing fruit.
Okay. And I agree to that. What about, what if I am trying to influence somebody? I guess what I'm trying to say is, if I think that, say, I take Dawn for example. Let's say she's not a Christian or anything. If I think that by going and trying to teach her something, that means I've got to cover everything right there, I might pretty much shut the door right then. And I'm not saying, I'm not discouraging doing that, but what I mean is, I always think of the idea of planting and watering, and okay, they see your example. So now they're going to ask some things about it. Now we're going to go from there. We're going to look to the Bible and we're going to start talking about things so you can start teaching them the truth. So, you know, sometimes just, I think like Ennis said, just bringing up stuff or asking questions and stuff can get us to some of those points. Yes, sir, Craig?
I think this was mentioned last time, like in Deuteronomy 6 and 5 and following, that was what Moses was instructing the people when their children asked them about the, what are these commandments and statutes that we're doing?
Right.
And they were to respond. And that, so there's the questions. These are children of people that are worshiping God, you know, and their children still need to be taught what these things mean. Where did this come from? Where did this come from?
Good point.
Mm-hmm.
Good point.
I also think you have a unique challenge in this area, coming from the Northeast, with this street evangelism, you know, it was easier to speak about Jesus Christ to people who didn't believe in God or anything than it was to speak to people who, you know, were, let's say, Baptist or were Catholic or were Methodist or were. Those are the real unique challenges. And I find that here because, you know, a lot of people here are quote unquote Christians.
Okay.
And they're more so than the Northeast. You know, Northeast is, you know, more. Atheism is more prevalent up there. Christianity is very small. So it was actually easier doing street evangelism and speaking to people who don't believe in God at all
right.
than it is down here speaking to people who already are saved.
Right.
So you have a unique challenge.
Because it's a different,
here.
It's a kind of a different approach. And that's some of the things I've got on the lesson here. You know, there are those that are lost and know nothing about God. Kind of like what you were saying, a lot of those that y'all would see up there. But there are also those that think they know God. And when I say that, I don't mean anything bad by that. I mean, that's true. They believe in God, but have error in their belief. You know, if they already believe in God, is there a need for me to teach them? Yes. Yeah, especially if we think there's something that might be erring in that. Yes.
Since we've already talked about this, this is a forcing point. Even if they believe everything that you believe, they're still in need to teach.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Also, when you're talking with somebody, you can remember that the basis of what you're going at is to save yourself.
Yes.
And so when you're discussing it, you want to make sure that it's going to be discussable. You're not telling them, forcing something.
No.
Like, so they understand that you're going to discuss it. And they might have something to share with you. See, and you will let them know that you understand that, that they might have something that is right. And whenever you talk about it, make sure you let them know that, hey, you might give out on it.
And so the attitude, the way that we approach it's important, isn't it?
It's not like, hey, I know everything. I'm going to tell you it all.
Yeah, we have to be careful, because if we do it like that, then we're not going to accomplish what we're looking to do. You know, it's not just to say, oh, well, I talked to them. They didn't want to listen. That's not it, because we look at the bigger picture of what we're actually trying to do. Like I said, this is dangerous because they do not recognize that there's something lacking, you know. And Satan loves this. These people feel secure, and why wouldn't they if they don't know any different? I mean, you know, if they haven't been taught or haven't been shown the verses that might convince them otherwise, then why wouldn't they feel secure?
Might help when we think about it. Remember, we were at that state one time. We thought we were right.
Right. That's why I was looking. I wanted us to look back at ourselves. Now, throughout our study, we will address some errors that people fall into, and these are things that we will need to be able to address. And I've listed a few on your lesson, things that we might run into when speaking to those that claim to be Christian. And this is just part of the introduction, so when we read some of these, we're not going to go into great detail on them, but want us to consider these things. And it's, you know, because these are things that are very important when it comes to this subject, because they're things that we're going to be facing. You know, you might speak to someone that says, and this part's not on your lesson, but you might speak to someone that says, hey, I'm a Christian. Think we need to be careful of what someone might mean by that. Does that mean that they believe in God and are knowledgeable of the Word? Not necessarily. It could mean that they mean, hey, as far as God versus, you know, evolution, or not believing in God. Well, let's say God versus atheist. That's the easiest way to put it. That might be all that they mean by that. They might not have any knowledge of the Bible. They might just be able to look at the things about them and say, yeah, I think there's a God. You know, and but they might not be claiming that they know anything. And the dangerous part of that is, a lot of the time in that case, just because of things people hear and are introduced, And they, like, again, they never checked it to what the Word says, but they're saying, hey, look, I'm okay. Because me and God know, you know, we know. And but the problem is, well, I can say this because I was there. That's why I'm saying. But the problem with this is there's nothing that really backs that up. Because if you start looking at the Bible, then you find out, okay, well, maybe I was wrong there.
Maybe you're not so there.
So that's one thing we need to think about, you know, because we can be talking to people that are in error just from ignorance. Ignorance just means lack of knowledge, okay? So another aspect is, you know, do they believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? I put a couple verses down there. Jesus speaking says, unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. That's John 8:24. And in John 14:16, He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. Or, I am the true and living way. No one comes to the Father but through me. I'm sorry? I think it's 6. Yeah, it should be 6. Let me double check myself, because I was reading off my notes there. But.
So Greg, I asked a Hindu if they believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and they told me yes, they believe He's one of the many gods. I don't believe that. They worship over 3 million gods.
Wow.
They have a God for everything. Yeah. A God for the nails, a God for the hands, a God for the feet, a God for the head, a God for the torso. The rat god, the monkey god, the cow god.
That's an interesting point. You know, I grew up in the South, and you know, it's the Bible Belt. You kind of take for granted that most of the people we run into are at least know about the Bible, and they kind of believe in it, and kind of believe in Jesus, kind of, you know, some of this stuff here. And you get outside of this area, it's all over the place.
Yeah.
And you really got to get down into the weeds with folks and figure out where you're starting from.
And John 20:31, that's the one more verse that I put there. Said, you know, we're very familiar with this one. It said, these have been written, talking about the signs, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. You know, and some would say, kind of in the same area what Alex was talking about, some would say that there was, well, some would say that there was a man named Jesus, and might not necessarily recognize him as deity. And as I'm going through some of these points, I'm not saying which different denominations will be bringing these things up. Not saying that that's not important in certain studies if you're trying to speak to someone of a particular denomination, but a lot of these things you might find that's in different areas, and it's our main point is that it's something we're going to that we can be facing. So if this is what we're facing, regardless what denomination they are, if this is something that we're facing, this is how we can answer that.
Jesus used the approach of when he's talking about who the men say that I am, because it begins with who Jesus is,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so if, and also if they believe that what he said is the Bible is the truth,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can't convince someone that these are the words and this is truth if they would rather take what their heart is telling them.
Right.
And what little voice or, you know, something says to them over what you go to the Bible and try to teach. I mean, you know, that's a hurdle to get over because some
people aren't going to recognize the Bible as true.
That's true.
That's true.
And so, you know, how do you know Jesus is the Son of God? You know, and sometimes we knew a person, that's where we had to start. Who is Jesus? Mm-hmm. Who is this Jesus? Who do you think Jesus is? You know, and then, well, how do you know that? because they just felt like to stay.
So there's going to be different levels in a lot of the different people you teach. And that's kind of what you're going to have to see is maybe where, you know, that's easy if you're, I say easy, it's easier if you're getting the chance to have a one-on-one actual study or something. But, you know, what we're talking about here isn't necessarily always to that point yet. So these are good things we need to remember. So when we do talk to them, that definitely we can kind of get an idea of where they're at and maybe address some of those situations.
You know, we found it gets down to saying, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter my kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of my Father.
Right, some claim.
There are people out there who believe in Jesus, but they, and then he tells the story of the wise man. And so, do we want to be wise? You know, we don't start hitting them over the head with, quote unquote, church Christ argument. But, you know, just, okay, you know, who is the wise man? And, you know, that's just a little bit far.
That verse right there, if we don't have that committed to memory, we're not going to be able to teach, because people have this nebulous, oh, I'm okay with God. Mm-hmm. When you get down to the brass tacks, as it will, you know, it's not everyone who says to me, but who is it? It's the one who does the will.
How
do you know what the will is?
Yeah.
Now you got to get into
the Bible
and see what the will is.
Yeah.
Matthew 7.
And another point we have on there is maybe they believe in Jesus, but think that believing is enough. You know, there's some people that you're going to talk to that might consider baptism as a work, because that's what they've been taught, and therefore they deny what the Bible teaches about baptism. But, you know, we're not going to get into, again, these are just some little verses we put on there. We're not going to go into great detail all the different verses to use, and but at Acts 2:37 and 38, we see this idea. It said that they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You know? And there's also maybe they think that they should be baptized. Again, these are all things that are very kind of similar, but they're different hurdles. Maybe they think that they should be baptized, but maybe they don't think that baptism is essential to salvation. And again, you could use the Acts 2:38, the very end of the verse, where it said, well, Peter said to them, repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. So we see there the idea of the forgiveness of their sins. And also in Acts, the 22nd chapter, Ananias tells Paul, now why do you delay? You know, get up and be baptized, or arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on his name. So we see these ideas of this being essential for salvation.
Right.
Yes, sir?
Actually, all of the examples of version we have in the Bible, you just show a sense of urgency.
Mm-hmm.
That's important.
Yes, sir?
It's not important.
Urgency. Yes, sir. That's a good point. Yeah.
Before I came to Church of Christ, I was in a Baptist church for 7 years, and they have it backwards. You have to first do the sinner's prayer, then you have to go to a year of classes before you're baptized. And I always questioned, I said, the Bible doesn't teach that.
It's just like the sinner's prayer. Wow.
And that's the Bigfoot of the Bible, not there.
It also shows faith on the part of the repentant, you know, believer, you know, faith, and so many, you know, baptized infants, and then they will grow into the, it's the faith of the person, you know, and they're going to raise them and that kind of thing, you know, and it's not just the Catholic Church. It's prominent out there in the denominational world.
Well, that was my next point. It's, you know, maybe they think it's okay to baptize someone that can't believe. You know, and so that's the idea of baby baptism. In Acts, the 8th chapter, in 36 and 37, what does Paul ask? Oh, I'm sorry, Paul, not Paul, Philip. Started with a P. What does Philip ask the Ethiopian eunuch when he says, "What prevents me from being baptized?" Sir? Okay. Or the other version says, "If you believe." No. I know what you were saying. Then. If you believe with all your heart, you may. Yes, sir.
The next part of that, he said, so he was confessing his faith. A baby who can't speak can't confess their faith and say, "I believe." And
so. Correct. Yeah, that was my point on that. That yeah, because they can't believe and they can't confess. So.
Well, they do that at confirmation.
You grew up Catholic too.
So baptism is based on your belief in Christ and the salvation that He provides, and we know that a baby can't believe in this way, nor do they need that at that point.
Holy Spirit gives an example of the Holy Spirit. And I say, you believe and taught everything concerning Christ accurately. But here's a mistake, you know, in baptism of time, you didn't know about the Holy Spirit, you didn't have to do any sense.
Okay. Yes, too.
And those people had to be re-baptized.
Yes. Yes, good point. And my last point on that is maybe they think or maybe they believe in baptism, but then you come to the point that maybe they don't agree what the term means, because that can be another battle. You know, baptism, is it sprinkled or is it dipped or is it immersion? And where we looked at about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, we see there this idea. It says that they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. So, something for us to consider. Do you have to go down into the water to be sprinkled? Or do you have to go down into the water to be dipped? Yes, sir. Sir, speak up just a little bit.
You know, the word baptized here was translated. It's transliterated.
Translated?
Yeah, it's translated to be immersion.
Immersion, okay. So this is just some of the errors that we're going to be faced with when we try to do this. But
to barrel, yes,
that's true. So these are some things we'll be faced with, and you know, we just need to not be discouraged by these kind of questions and be prepared. Now, when we talk to people, and that's another thing I think that kind of scares us or keeps us from talking to people is, well, I know it does, because you even hear people talking about, well, I don't know what to say, or I don't know much about this. And you know what, like I said in the first class, we don't know what things might prick somebody. It might be something pretty simple that might get their attention. And if we are so focused on thinking that we can't handle something, that keeps us from doing something that might have been pretty simple. I'm not saying that it will be, but we can't talk ourselves out of trying to do these things, because I know that's something that we can easily do. So we need to evaluate ourselves. You know, are we doing what we can, and are we willing to help? Now, this is some of the things we're going to start with when we get into lesson one. which we'll get into lesson one. And that's our attitude. So we need to consider some things about our attitude. And then we'll, from there, we'll end up defining our word, evangelism, and we'll see how others define it, and look at some aspects about it. And some things about evangelism is that we'll end up looking at is, why is it needed? Who is it for? Who is to teach it? You know, is this just something that the preacher's supposed to do? So, you know, these are just some different things that we'll end up approaching or looking at.
Most folks who you talk to, not really kind of know, you know, a whole lot about it, like, but another thing is we carry a pen and paper with us, and we talk to them about, I don't have an answer to that right now, but let me write it down. And we get together, say, so sometimes we all get together and we talk about this.
Yeah, so that might be a good tool or a good way to. Okay.
And the Bible. And I always see an answer straight from the Bible. And I was debating with the Baptist preachers up in New York in Flushing, you know, First Baptist Church. I just counter everything they tell me with the Bible. What you're saying doesn't make sense, because over here it says Cornelius was baptized right away. They asked him, you know, why are you, you know, tarrying, not being baptized? You're saying he doesn't need to be baptized, but yet he was baptized right away. And I told him, you can't show me one example in the New Testament where someone was not baptized in order to be saved. Mm-hmm.
So that, I mean, using the Bible is going to be a good tool for us. And like Ennis was saying, and later on, much further, if we get to it, we'll probably look at some ideas of tools that we might be able to use for this aspect of teaching others, because again, we're going to look at different aspects of teaching, not just those that don't know. And we'll, because as we go further, we're going to see that this word really is just teaching. I mean, it's, you see the whole idea of teaching at different levels and things. But let's start in lesson one.
Okay, I think she had a question here.
Oh, did you have a question? I'm sorry.
Comment. No, that's okay.
Yeah, just... I didn't see you. Yeah, okay. Put your hand up.
So I think that's why...
Alex.
I'm sorry, my mind went blank as soon as I was saying.
I do that all the time. Don't be embarrassed.
You know, what Alex was saying, and then what Sam said, too, with people of other denominations and their different beliefs, you, with anybody, you first have to establish Bible authority. It's not going to do any good to teach or to try to teach somebody unless you first establish that the Bible is
right. The
only authority. You know, you can't use whoever's creed books or Joseph Smith's writings or whatever, because you'll never be on the same page. You know, that's why Catholics have their infant baptism, is because they're going by their own, you know, Catholic doctrines and teachings, and they're not following this. And that's why it's so important. You know, and isn't that what we even teach our children from the time they can open their mouths? The Bible tells them so. Mm-hmm. They all know that song, you know. But it's where we have to start with people, too. We have to start as if they are babes,
right,
too, in the teaching, and establish what is the authority.
Okay. Good point. Now, on some of the denominations, now they're going to agree with you as far as on the Bible. Some of them will say they agree with you, but when you talk to them, they say, "Oh yeah, we've got the Bible," and they've got their own version.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Bible authority is going to be very important.
Craig, let me make one point here.
Okay.
You talked a minute ago about teaching at different levels.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know it all. But it would be good, because maybe we make contacts from time to time. Someone's interested in Scripture. And it's not a bad idea to know people that are more experienced in a certain topic.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? You get tied into a Roman Catholic, you may want to know the terminology goes on and on and on. And if someone's out of Catholicism, then they'd be good to bring into that study. Okay? Or hand them off, even.
Yeah.
Okay? Or even the idea of a male somehow getting in contact with a female that teach. Well, you may want to hand that female off to another female.
Yeah.
You don't want to teach directly.
Or go there with your wife or something. Yes. Okay. Yes. No, I totally agree.
It's not a bad idea to hand off to someone else or someone else be there that's more versed in that topic.
Okay.
Okay.
Good point.
Right. As you get into what the hang up is.
Yeah, because some of these other people you talk with, believe me, they're not going to worry about bringing other people in.
Well, the idea too, even when you get into the Holy Spirit and all that.
Oh, I know.
It came out of Holy Spirit background, charismatic background. I went through that. And it lends a little more to the situation and discussion.
Then you can kind of have an understanding of where they're coming from to be able to address the situation.
But you still need to know things on your own.
Yes. Now, that's a good point, though, Doug. Because that's good that we can kind of rely on each other and do that to help each other, to help
all
others.
Stand alone by ourselves.
Yes, ma'am.
I did want to add, though, if we wait to teach somebody and thinking that we need to know everything about the Baptist doctrine and everything about the Catholic doctrine and everything about the JWs in order to lead them to the truth, we'll never do one thing.
That's right.
You don't have to know that. These people that were scattered, they knew one thing. They were saved by Jesus Christ from their sins. Right. And they went into Gentile nations, and I mean all kinds of idolatry going on there. And, you know, they didn't have to know every god that was there and every idol and every temple and all that in order to tell their neighbor that Jesus was saving them from their sins.
That's a good point, Linda. Because if we try to or think we're going to wait till we know all of that, number one, that's going to stop us right there. And if we talk to the people, you know, that's how you grow. Because I mean, we do want to help others, but also, you know, let's say you're at the house and you get that knock and somebody wants to talk to you about the Bible. Well, you know, you might not think you're equipped to, but just consider it. You know, because I think it helps us.
Thank you. Thank you. By the way.